Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, what's next on Ukraine? Number two, we've got a new project, the AI Impact. We'll get into it. Plus, number three, what Senate leaders are up to this recess. Before we get into it this morning, I want to alert anybody who's at CBA Live this morning. Punchbowl News has a big presence there with our financial services offering, The Vault. Stop by the booth. There are going to be folks there all day long talking to everybody who's out there. I'm going to be out there this morning, Jake, out at National Harbor. So just want to tell all of our listeners, if you're at CBA Live, come say hi. With that, let's talk about what's next on Ukraine. Jake?
Well, first of all, looking forward to that, Anna. One thing to note this morning, breaking overnight, really, in the last couple hours, a ship has crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, and the bridge has collapsed. This is a major for people both in the DMV and outside the DMV who are listeners. This is a major, one of three crossings, I believe, around the Baltimore Harbor. It is a major thoroughfare on, I believe, 695. And I'll just say that this is going to be, the bridge is completely buckled. It is in the water.
It's a pretty stunning video that they have, Jake.
Yeah, it is. I have to imagine this is going to be a big, obviously a massive infrastructure project here to get this bridge back operable. And I don't know when that'll happen, but, you know, obviously praying, thinking of the victims here, of which we don't know how many there are, but there's a rescue effort underway. Now on to our top this morning. This is so Mike Johnson on Ukraine. So, you know, I didn't think, but some might have thought that the government funding fight, which ended last week, and by the way, we are 5 months into Johnson's speakership as of yesterday, but some people might have thought that that funding package was the end of his issues, tough decisions, this Congress. It is not. He has said publicly and privately that he intends to put on a bill onto the floor to send aid to Ukraine. Now, in typical Johnson fashion, this is not a criticism of him. He has not said what he wants to do here, like how he wants to handle it, how he wants to get it across, what he'll try to get across the floor. He has suggested to people that he will get this done. So this morning, Anna, we break down the options that are available to Mike Johnson. And there are just generally four options. His team has said he's having discussions with lawmakers over the recess. He's going to make a decision when they come back and discuss it with their people. So here are his options. And let's talk about each one, Anna. The Senate bill got 70 votes. Pretty damn easy to get that thing across. It would pass. I honestly think it would probably pass the House with, I don't know if it could pass under suspension, but it would have to pass under suspension. So it would have to get at least 2/3 of the House. So that would be the easy option, Anna. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think this is the question that people have been, certainly Democrats have been saying, you know, for a while, right? Like, listen, this is a bill that has widespread support, besides the kind of, you know, kind of far right minority, that there would be plenty of support, certainly among Democrats, but also among many of his Republicans. You know, I think we go into the reasons lower down why that probably is challenging for him. It's something that he has avoided heretofore, but certainly is that where there's been a lot of pressure from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the White House, and others even within his conference, because there's this concern that this delay means they might not do anything.
Yeah. So now let's talk about the the next option, which is his own plan. Johnson could take the Senate bill and tweak it, but he in doing that, he would it would have to pretty closely mirror the Senate bill. He has talked about maybe splitting up the vote, splitting up the Ukraine vote, the Israel vote, the Taiwan vote, maybe changing some of this stuff into a lease, into a loan. He has also discussed linking the measure to reversing the ban on liquefied natural gas. This is a, you know, this would be a tweak that would make it that the Senate would have to vote again, but it would be close enough theoretically that the Senate wouldn't have to come back from the House. Now, let me just run through the other two options really quickly. There's Brian Fitzpatrick's bill, which is a well thought out plan, but it's probably, and they think that it's the only bill that can get through the chamber, but it, I don't think that, Johnson will just take it and put it up. Maybe he'll borrow some concepts from it. Then there's a discharge petition. Could he just tell people to sign the discharge petition? That would be effectively giving up the House of Representatives and just saying, you know what, I can't govern, go do your own thing. But we are in pretty unique times, Anna, in that the House majority is incredibly small, only getting smaller. It's basically a coalition government at this point in some respects. So it wouldn't be completely strange to see a discharge petition get through, although it's been a long time, so I don't think it's going to happen. But these are the options available to him, Anna. And I think that there are this is just a really difficult decision for Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, we'll move on quickly here. But I mean, none of this has changed the dynamics here. There's not all of a sudden he's going to look in his, you know, back pocket and find a different maneuver here. These are the same basic, you know, kind of opportunities or things that have been available to him for quite a while now. The question's going to be, you know, the pressure is certainly on, and the fact that he said he's going to, you know, to hold people are certainly signaled. You have Michael McCaul, a chairman, saying that Johnson has said that they're going to take this up when they come back. And so when you have that, I think the question really, you know, remains, you know, in some ways a discharge petition. Yes, it gives up control of the floor, but it's kind of cute by half, right? It allows for him not to have to kind of own it at the same time at getting Ukraine done and then being able to move off of it. In some ways, I understand the reason why it doesn't happen, the reason why there's a lot of skepticism that this is the time for it and why it's such a limited vehicle, you know, but I don't know. I think that when you look at it, he doesn't have to own it. And especially when it comes to the Fitzpatrick, you know, kind of proposal, there is some border stuff that Republicans would get that they otherwise aren't going to get, certainly with a Senate package.
That's absolutely true.
All right. Jake is skeptical. We'll see where that goes. Moving on to number two, Jake, we have a new project that I'm super excited about. We have been working behind the scenes for quite a while on the AI impact. It's presented by Google. This is a special project that we are going to be undertaking over the next 2 months. So much focus on artificial intelligence right now. It's rapidly evolving, revolutionizing, certainly in the way business and everyday tasks are done. Congress, the White House, Washington are trying to grapple with the opportunities and challenges. That's why we're going to have a new segment every 2 weeks looking at how policymakers are working to come up with a regulatory framework that balances that need to minimize AI's worst effects without stifling innovation. Our first segment, Jake, really diving in deep, is Andrew Desiderio, looking at AI as integral to national defense, particularly on cybersecurity. Andrew looks at kind of where the things are stand right now. He's got a key interview with Representative Jay Obernorte, the Republican from California, the only member, for that matter, of Congress with an advanced degree in AI and co-chair of the House's AI task force. Looking forward to diving in here.
Yeah, this is I will say this, Anna, this is the most... I hear all the time, literally all the time, about what Congress will do on AI, how it views AI, and as you noted, AI task force, excuse me, Mr. Obernolte is a part of it. It is a very, very big part of the efforts on AI so far, so a very important thing to keep an eye on.
And just a note, both Andrew and I are going to be featured in a special edition podcast of the Daily Punch coming out later this morning, talking about what he found, what he and the congressman spoke about, and a lot more in terms of the policy pipeline when it comes to cybersecurity and AI. So please check that out later this morning when it drops. Let's move on to the number three item of the morning. What are John Thune and John Cornyn up to this month? We have a look at Senate GOP leadership and what they are doing with their leadership elections, still 8 months away. But congressional recess is always a good time to do some touching of the gloves and raising of the money, Jake.
Yeah, and this is all part, Anna, of the effort that Thune and Cornyn are undergoing to become the next leader. John Thune and John Cornyn, two of the Johns. The other John has already taken another race, which is he's running for John Barrasso is running for whip. Interestingly enough, John Thune is on the road a lot doing events in Nebraska for Deb Fischer and Pete Ricketts, two incumbents. He is going to appear at an event with Larry Hogan, the Maryland governor, who is running for Senate, last minute entry into that Senate race. He recently traveled to Philadelphia. He also spoke remotely at an event for Eric Hovde, and who's challenging Tammy Baldwin. He has been on the road a lot. John Cornyn is not talking about where he's at and what he is doing this recess, but perhaps he's also fundraising. But Thune is doing a lot. Thune is definitely the front runner in this race to succeed Mitch McConnell.
All right, with that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. Tell your friends about it. You can sign up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.